Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this July 14th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And right now, we are welcoming into the studio, thanks to our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, we have Dan Guck, visionary, along with Lee Graff and friends, to bring in this quadruplex to Wisconsin Rapids. Dan, good morning, or good afternoon, I should say.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I know it's confusing. We're recording in the morning. It plays at night. And we also want to welcome in Athletic Director of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools and Lincoln High School, Chris Feit. Chris, hello.
Hey, how are we doing?
I'm just going to say hello now. That way it cuts out the midnight. Chris, did I...
I was ready to go with that.
Chris, how do I pronounce your last name?
You did it correctly. Feit.
Yeah. Oh, we got to mark that down. Yeah, I never get those
right. I get a lot of different things with that. You're right.
Thank you both for being here. I really do appreciate the time and really the opportunity to talk about the complex. I feel like this is something that here at WFHR, we haven't even been able to scratch the surface of. It is amazing. It's awesome to have this in town, and yet we just don't have you guys on enough to talk about this. So get used to being here. We're going to do this more going forward. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, can we talk about how this even came to be? I'd love to know the history of who thought that we could use this, who saw this, what visionary understood that we could really take advantage of something like this in our community.
I think you got the right guy here. Yeah, Dan was the guy.
Yeah, Dan, can you tell us a little about that?
Well, the history started in about 2014, and you mentioned it there with Lee Graff and myself. We were kind of the two dads that spearheaded some of the initial thought and conversation, and it originally pioneered in the idea of trying to renovate the Mead facility over there by on 17th Avenue, and... long story short is my boys were going through the program, through the RISA program, and then obviously into Legion baseball. And at the end of the day, the rafters were a success, and we love them. They're an awesome addition to the community. It's a brand of ball that we should all be very blessed to know is here. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it also limited the amount of opportunity that our boys could play at Ware Field.
Right.
So our schedule tended to be on the road more than home, and it's kind of hard to run a program when you can't have your concessions and that. So at the end of the day, we started to look at what were the opportunities between the logistics, the user groups, and how could you collaborate and try to share resources and make everything as efficient as possible. And we got connected with people like from the Visitors Convention Bureau, like Ken Porter, who was another very instrumental in connecting us to some key people. And then eventually through my involvement in Rotary, I was connected with Ron Rasmussen, the principal now of Lincoln High School, and then he was showing me the long-term vision that Lincoln High School had for all the properties and grounds. Mm. So there's even a huge story there that I think people could even include the school district.
We're going to have to get Ron on. We're going to get that story from sometime.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't realize like the pool renovation was the first phase of a massive five-phase renovation that they wanted to do to buildings and grounds in general.
Yeah.
And Chris could even probably speak onto that as one too. But at the end of the day, Ron invited us over. We sat down. He said, this is what we're trying to do. It included a quadplex. And I said, my gosh, this is exactly what we're trying to accomplish. And so it just took off from there. And then ultimately it led to one of the people that our community should be so thankful to have a part of it is Mike Bovey with the Legacy Foundation. And he was willing to listen to us and sat down and, heard where we were coming from. And we put together a presentation and started to mold the whole project from including the Mead Field area, and also included a renovation, believe it or not, that was going to be an enhancement over out at Kellner also. But then eventually we just had to pare it down to what we could do with resources we had available. And eventually then another key dad got involved, Brian Wendt, here in the later stages too. And the concession stand wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for Brian. So, Ron Rasmussen continued to stay involved. And then Craig Braun, the superintendent, got involved, right at the day-to-day local level as we were going through the planning. And eventually it led to the school district and the board stepping up to be willing to be the pillar of this and showed the support. And we had three features that this had to absolutely honor. Number one was it was going to be community involvement. Number two was economic development, and number three was going to be sustainable. So with the community involvement, it included getting the contractors involved, and we had conversations with them and seeing if there was ways they could be a part of this, whether it was in-kind donations or not. And then the economic development was is obviously what it could do to our community. And then lastly was sustainable, that we actually have a sustainability fund that's actually in place, and the school district has as a line item where proceeds go into it from either user fees or a concession split that goes towards keeping the facility state-of-the-art. So the last thing we want is 10 to 15 years down the road for a turf replacement bill, and then there's no way to pay for it. So it's a mindful thing, but, you know, the school district will be the first one to say that, hey, this isn't, you know, running a quadplex wasn't something we signed up for when we're here to provide education and basic programs for kids. But at the end of the day, they've been just amazing learning as they're going, as we're all learning this together. And they've been just amazing at being there as a pillar of support behind this all every step of the way.
Oh, go ahead.
And so then the city became another key piece there, the support that was different with the Mead compared to later than when it was moved to the quadplex was amazing there too. And then Point of Beginning, which was one of the key engineering firm that Scott Grolski, the owner, was at so many meetings, dedicated so much selfless time in order to be a beacon of knowledge for us to get off and running. And then eventually ran into the day-to-day operations where we've got Chris here today, and then Scout Garrett and Ed Allison at Buildings and Grounds. So they've been, it's just been, it's been amazing to watch it all come together, where 2018 was the big introduction to the Legacy Foundation for them to see if there was a way where they might be willing to support this whole project. And then by eventually through evolution, by 2020, they did support it, and we were able to move forward.
A couple of key things to this, and thank you so much for that, Dan. One, I think the complex itself and what it offers is certainly number one big headline right there. And I should journalistically mention that I am a Lincoln High School grad, and I'm very biased about Lincoln. But I, in all seriousness, I'm biased about our community, and this is great for our community and all. But that forethought, the insight to think of the going forward, and well, we're going to have replacements, we're going to have to keep this thing up to date, and not kicking the can, not being like, well, that ain't my problem. Like, to think of that, to have that into the inner workings of the proposal of this and everything, has got to be a gigantic part of it. And kind of different. I don't hear a lot of that. I'm a bit of an architect nerd, and I like reading up on these projects and different things, especially the more local they are. And I don't hear that very often, of the forethought to think of, well, we don't want this to be the school's problem or just any one in particular problem. We want to be sure to get ahead of this one. That's insightful. That's very key to this to me.
Well, my DNA is actually financial planning and accounting, so
very helpful.
Kind of helps out a little bit.
It's just kind of how you're wired, and then obviously key people like Mike Bovey, who also is CFO, you know, from his background and stuff too. We're just blessed to just know that there was those kind of people around us to be able to continue to interject and steer the ship and be mindful of that. There's an old saying that said that, hey, if we could help some nonprofit build a building, but then they couldn't afford the light bill after it was built, what did we accomplish?
Right, right.
And that's the last thing is the school district has other issues that we know that they have to be able to serve. And we don't want this to be a burden to the taxpayers. And so that was the whole hope and goal, is that you know, this could come together through the proper means. No doubt that the school district is a user group, and that the kids through all of the baseball, softball programs and football programs and everything that are there are going to have to use it as well. And just like Assumption uses the football field currently, and there's outreach towards Port Edwards, Nacoosa. So there's opportunity there that all of central Wisconsin can share and use it as needed. It's just that the way it came together is the Wisconsin Rapids School District is willing to be that, again, that pillar of support where they own it, and they manage it, and they maintain it.
I come from a construction family, Dan, and one of the things that I know about construction is you make plans and then life happens. you got everything locked up. You feel really good about stuff. And I mean, it is remarkable to think we're, what, 4 or 5 years into this, and we're hosting events. It's creating its own economic impact from its own events and everything. It's pretty cool to think where we are, but it didn't get here easily. Were there hiccups during the process? Were there things that you didn't see coming that kind of slowed us down in this process? So I know there was some kind of pandemic, I believe, that was going on. I don't know.
Well, the ironic part is if there was anything that the pandemic, all the negative that it created, it was the most positive thing that happened for our project. Because at the time, when Legacy knew that they were willing to commit to this and the school district was on board and everything was coming together there, the timeline on when they wanted that to happen was at the height of when COVID was going through this most uncertainty. And projects were getting canceled upon contractors, and pricing of materials was starting to plummet. And so at the end of the day, we ended up with a better project per dollar than what we had originally planned on the original rollout of it. So that part, thankfully, came out well. We couldn't have been more fortunate. Scott, actually, from Point of Beginning, did some of their case studies on it and said, hey, now another year removed, if things were back to a different spot, that same project from would have been another two-thirds higher priced.
Wow.
Compared to what we actually got. And so, and Lee and I had gone and we had done kind of a road test around different and tested different facilities and stuff by doing a road trip, around Wisconsin and stuff too, and trying to take in different amenities that they offered and try to, formulate what we thought would make sense. And then you look at the logistics of what you had for square footage to deal with and, you try to piece it together. But one of the biggest negative things that happened, if you will, was that burnt up all of the contingency money during the construction was that the soil was way worse than what was expected. And so where you normally hope that you've got that 5 to 10% contingency money that you didn't really need to use in your budget, we burnt through every single dime of it just in soil.
Wow.
So it eliminated then those runovers or those other niceties that you thought, hey, maybe we can squeeze this in.
Yeah.
And that we weren't fortunate enough to be able to have that to do it, which is why actually at the end of the today that an improved parking lot behind the Southwood County building by the hockey rink isn't done yet is because we literally there was no more funds left.
Well, it's great to have you guys on the air to talk about this stuff and raise awareness to that and something that we can build towards. No pun intended. we can hopefully get to that point. That's great, Dan. When it comes to the details of this beautiful facility, I'd like to get into that a little bit before we get into the day-to-day and some of the awesome events that are going to be hosted over there. And if you don't mind, Chris, I'd like to go to you for some of that information. As far as the what we have here at the complex, especially for our listeners out there that haven't gotten a chance to take in the facilities and see them or anything yet.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I mean, the quadplex itself is two baseball fields and two softball fields, and they're all turf. They're portable mounds, so they're obviously adjustable. We actually have tick marks in the outfield on the baseball fields that we can play soccer out there. So it's not just a baseball softball field. We can use it for other events, and obviously Kickers in Town has used that facility, and we actually plan on hosting a few of our high school games out there this year on the outfield of the varsity infield of the north field. So that in itself, the diversity, the usability of those fields is amazing because of the turf with those portable mounds can come in and out, and we can obviously use it for other things. I would say the state of art concession building is second to none. I mean, the stuff that we have in there, the amenities that we're able to, use and give to those people attending events is second to none. And obviously the indoor facilities as far as bathrooms, we have 8 batting cages. Basically, you can use 2 per field. And they're also obviously all turf, so you don't have any issues with that being wore out either, and it's all obviously encaged in a secure facility that that obviously we want people to attend, but we also want to take care of it. So I think, you know, every field has lights on it. So if we have any, we can play until, you know, hopefully the neighbors are okay with us playing real late sometimes. But, and I know sometimes that is a little bit of a distraction for those in that area with, you know, some music and obviously the cheering from the fans and stuff. But, I mean, it's a great venue, and we just encourage people to come out and see it.
Well, and that's something that I know that almost every facility in the world, no matter what level they are, they got lights. But maybe it's growing up, and forgive me for this, guys, but growing up in a Cub family where they didn't have lights at Wrigley for a long time, and they finally got them, and absolutely, it economically like changed everything at Wrigley Field. A 100-year-old stadium completely got renewed, and new people being able to use. So that the lights there, that opens up a lot more inventory for us. That we have a lot more opportunity absolutely to do a lot more there. And I've talked to some people that live near the area and about these events, and I've never heard anything negative myself. What I have heard is them wanting to be there, like certain times where they got to go off to work and like, oh, I'd rather go over there or something like
sounds
that.
Sounds like a lot more fun over there, a lot of cheering and stuff going on.
and I think a lot of people also, when they hear the noises over there, it's very similar to Witterfield, where people that I know that live near that ballpark, that's money. That's what you're hearing right there. And I'm not trying to like strip it all down and just take the emotion out of this, because that's a big part of all this, is how we feel about our community and our pride about our community. That's very important. It's also really nice to have roads taken care of and some of this. And that's a very, very integral part of having this facility there.
Yep. Absolutely. And I, like I said, you know, every field out there has the ability to have its own announcer. They have their own scoreboards. It's a state-of-the-art facility, and I think it's something this community should be very proud of.
What's the day-to-day upkeep like over there, or even the monthly upkeep?
We do groom it, so the turf has to be groomed. We have a groomer on site that our maintenance crew goes out there. Depending on the use, the more it gets used, the more often they're out there. We obviously have to work around certain areas that are more wear and tear, like, you know, the batter's boxes, pitching mounds, that in those areas, and in the bullpens where it has a little more wear and tear, we have to put some dirt and the rubber fill that needs to go in there, and that has to be kind of raked up, and kind of so it maintains the, you know, the fiber in the turf itself, so that it doesn't wear out as quickly. So it kind of goes back to that sustainability. We want to obviously keep it up, and the more it gets used, it's awesome, but then it just requires a little bit more maintenance. But I mean, there's no mowing grass. It's probably the greenest grass in the area right now.
We're speaking with Dan Guck and Chris Felt. And I wanted to touch on a little bit, and we have a little already, about the kind of interest this has already generated. We know of some of the people that have already been able to use the facilities. Do we have some that have shown some interest that may be showing up in the future? Some people that might be taking advantage, coming to town here that we can look forward to? I know that we've heard from some people at the NAFA and some other organizations.
Yeah, I can speak on that a little bit, and I'll turn it over to Chris, because on the user group side, where I'm a little more connected, let's say, to the community side, so you've got the RISA program here, which is all your Little League. A lot of people know that the home base for that is in Kellner, and that's still the case. Nothing to take away from Kellner in any way, shape, or form. The quadplex is only there to enhance the experience in case it's needed for overflow. Typically, their tournaments have been full, and they've been now able to expand if they wish to, and now they know they've got that's a venue cool that can help them do it. And some of the efficiencies of what the quadplex does actually mimics the efficiencies of how Kellner is set up, because of all the diamonds, how their locale is all set, their location-wise. Compared to the Mead facility, where every backstop is separated, you have no community feel. And the quadplexes turn everything around and make it feel like a community.
That was intentional.
Yep.
Oh,
and efficient
very cool
for design.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you've got one centralized spot. The only thing that does frustrate people is you've got to walk all the way past the diamond to get back to where your bleachers are, compared to where you could just, you know, pull up from the curb and just go to a backstop.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I would say that is probably one of the bigger complaints. This is the walk to get to the bleachers. I mean, very minor complaint, but it is
I like observing, so I like that. I personally, I like being able to take that all in, but I get it. I get where people would be coming from with that.
You got your Legion program then, too. Legion now has expanded into three teams here in the last number of years, so the success there with the boys in those teenage years has been incredible, and some of that, I give a lot of that homage to the Rafters, too, for regenerating over the last decade another renewed interest in baseball in our community, and that pours over, I think, into the softball side for the girls as well. And Legion now, just as an example, you talk about event coming up, is next weekend is the state tournament for the 17U, which is the Rambler program. Mm-hmm. And they've already been awarded the 18U, the Ranger tournament, state
really?
Tournament next All year.
Right.
So it's really, it's just been incredible. And hats off to the local leadership of the Legion program right now, because this is all new to them. They're mm-hmm. all learning, too, because it's a Legion program is really sometimes a small window of time. You know, in RISA, your kids could be there for a decade, as they're 5 all the way up to 13, 14, 15 years old. But when you get to the Legion program, you might only be there for about a 2-year stint, maybe 3 years, depending on how long a son chooses to play baseball. So unless you've got 2 or 3 sons, then you might be there a while. Well, that parent group maybe turns over a little bit more, and so you've got newness. And this current group, I couldn't give them more credit, because they're just going all out on this thing, trying to pull it off and showcase not only the quad, but showcase what Rapids Legion program's all about. And so they're, as well as something that was totally unexpected, which was the Rapids Redhawks.
Yeah.
Now you've got an adult baseball program for just local people that are playing in the Dairyland League. And they'll be having a tournament here, or their final?
In August. Yep, yeah. They have a regional tournament. So.
Yeah. Other things like that coming to the area? Or yeah, is that...
Just to give you a little backdrop, we ended up hosting additional, through the high school, we had an additional 30-plus games from outside communities that obviously needed a place that they could play. This spring was a little rough with the weather. So we were bringing in schools like that. We hosted the baseball. I will say in the months of July and June and July, we'll have basically 9 open dates out there. So there's games out there almost every night. So we had one date that was open in July, and we'll have about 8 or 9 that will be open in June, July. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that facility's being used that often. And then, you know,
and even the college community has even been up.
Yes, we've had the UWSP out there playing. They've played a couple games out there with Platteville, and we've had a lot of requests. And sometimes with the weather, it doesn't always work out, even with the turf. But it is a lot more user friendly for even the college level.
You know, is insightful and as smart as you guys were in creating this, Dan, and you and the team and everybody that has, you know, their fingerprints on this. What I thought was really cool when they first heard about it and first saw shovels in the ground and everything, and I think this with a lot of different facilities that were being built in this area. And I go back to when I'm a kid in Chicago and I'm seeing these big buildings being built and stuff. Potential. It's the stuff we expect and the things that we know we'll probably get used for. And then there's the things that we just can't even see coming. But then we get using them. We're like, whoa, this is perfect. And we never saw that even coming. So while we could talk about all the great things that are happening and coming up in the next year or two, I find just as exciting whatever's coming next around what's behind door number 3, you know, that we don't even know what's going to be there next. Because this facility has so much to offer. And we're still getting the word out to the state, to the Midwest, really, about it.
Yeah, totally. That's the biggest thing is we know the experience of the Dells. We know what Mauston is like for these different complexes. Our kids were going there, and now we get to be home. We get to host it. We get to have the economic impact here. Teams from a Medford and a Tomahawk can come and play here in Rapids, save themselves tremendous amount of travel time to go down to those other facilities, do it at a lower price point. We still can have the revenue, and then they still get to play on turf and go home.
I gotta say, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's absolutely. That's again. That's what happened a lot this spring, and we had communities from Rylander to, you know, all the way over to the Medford area, and the northern schools really had to find a place to play, and we were a lot closer for them than those facilities south of us.
I have to say, too, that something that has really stood out to me throughout this whole process, and I'm in a unique position. I got a lot of different people that come in every week for these shows, and I get to hang out with Terry Johns once a week, a couple times a week, usually, poor her, and talk to the United Way and everything.
I agree.
I noticed this from talking with her and our nonprofits, that our area became much stronger when our nonprofits started working together, that they became, you know, more, hey, you take care of this, we'll take care of that, and it wasn't just crabs in a barrel scratching for that dollar. And I see the same thing in sports in this area. I go to the Raptors and I talk to them, and they're talking up the Redhawks, and they're talking up the facility, and vice versa. This idea of us working together and showing that, hey, there's enough room for everybody. God, we love baseball around here. We'll take all the baseball we can get. You know, are there any mascots want to start a team? Let's do that too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It shows the support and the strength of this area and how much better we are when we work together. And it not a coincidence to me that all these things that I just mentioned are all doing very well and all working together.
Yeah, the collaboration piece was huge and instrumental in the amount of helping the funding component come together, because you could show and prove how many lives you were going to affect. Yeah. And when you have the RISA program and Legion and Red Hawks, and you have so much synergy between boards and them understanding the pipeline of where kids are at, the numbers are at, the need is at, you can adjust the programs accordingly based on where the opportunity exists for, let's say, stronger boys to move up or boys to move down or stuff like that. If you don't have the communication, you know, you're always going to struggle. And I would say right now, we were able to prove that in 2018 to current, we've got the right human capital involved to be able to make it work. And so far, so good.
You guys were too good. We're going to have to bring you back. I want to talk more about the complex going forward. I want to get on a regular basis of having you guys in and talking about it. And I really do appreciate everything you've done for the community. Keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.